Sunday the 19th of February 2023, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Journey with Matthew. Sermon title, Heaven Meets Earth. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 18. Talk by Reverend Kate Scheinman.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Sort myself out. Oh, you do look lovely this morning. How are you? All right? Well done. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you, family. Nice to see you. So, I want to read a short letter of correspondence between a couple of people. Here's the letter. Dad, the Heavenly City, Revelation Street, God's Kingdom. Let's have a look at this. So. Dear Dad, I hope you're okay. Just wanted to write and share some stuff that's going on with me. I'm giving away quite a bit of my spare money at church, you know, for the food bank and various charities. I did well, didn't I? What do I get for my reward, Dad? I think my friends saw me dropping some money in the offertory bag because the clonk of coins was loud. Do I get more blessings? I think I should. Dad, I believe I'm good at praying. I really love the sound of my own voice. I've got so much to say. Yeah. I have, actually, too much. Back to the letter. Others reckon I like my prayers as well, Dad. I've mastered prayer. What do you think, Dad? What would my special reward be? I don't think the world could live without my prayers. Lastly, dear Father, I admit that I struggle when I don't eat regularly. Janet and Joe asked me why I had that odd look on my face, and they said that my breath was really bad. That was so rude of them, Dad. But I know it's an important and required thing for me to fast and say my prayers. I think I did quite well after that experience. I didn't collapse. Well, Joe and Janet sat with me for a while because I told them I was going gung-ho for God. What will I get, Dad, for my good service? I need to know. I hope you are pleased with me. Was I being a bit showy or loud? Anyway, love you lots. What things do you put first in your life? Let's pray. Dear God, as best we can, we come to you today and receive your invitation to enter your heart of love. Open our hearts to your word and our word to our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, stir us again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're continuing our series in the Gospel of Matthew, written for mainly a Jewish audience, written approximately 70 to 80 years after Christ, and set in predominantly Antioch in Syria. And our hearts cry out for those people in Syria right now. So the focus of Matthew's Gospel today, around chapter 6, is the community's commitment to follow Jesus in their new Christ-given identity. To learn from Jesus, his teaching, and to question. How does that look for the followers of Jesus too? Or perhaps you're here today for the first time and you're curious of what it means to be a Christian. And if you're new here, we welcome you with a warm embrace. Do stay afterwards for a cup of tea and a chat. But what are the things you put first in your life? What's important? So chapter 6 draws on the attention of three things. They are almsgiving, I'll just explain that in a minute, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Warren Carter, an American biblical scholar, names them as the three acts of justice. But the overall message Jesus teaches us with these three disciplines is not to be over-religious about it. And I'll pick a bit more of that up as we go along. So just drawing your attention back to that letter, what I read just now, what did that stir within you, apart from a bit of chuckling? What was the writer's focus? So three acts of justice in Matthew 6. First is almsgiving. Basically means giving away food and charity and things to people in need. So in the Old Testament, the Israelites knew what it meant to serve and love their neighbour. You just need to look at the book of Leviticus, if you can stay awake during it, chapter 19, with a checklist of all the laws. But in Exodus chapter 22, the author writes that God's people are to look after the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphan, the marginalised. Giving was rooted in the Israelites' way of life. It set them apart as faithful worshippers from a society that would have been building wealth and success for themselves. Now, Jesus didn't say, don't give to the poor, or he didn't want to undermine what went before him, but he did say, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. For example, don't clunk your coins in the offertory bag, but put notes in silence. Bob will love that. Put your notes in silence. Sorry. I mean, is our giving to God the most important thing, or is it rather that we're giving so we are on display? Prayer. Jesus says, don't do what the religious people doing, meaning lots of words like the Pharisees do. Don't stand on the street corners. That would be quite good, wouldn't it, standing on the street corner and praying? But anyway, he's saying, don't babble on like me. He says, there's no need to make a spectacle of yourself, being noticed, being noisy, or being competitive. Scripture does also say we should pray out loud at times, and we should always and often proclaim the name of Jesus. But when our motive is, I wonder how I'm being perceived, I wonder if anybody notices me, I wonder what others will think of me, then that is not a secret action or perhaps even a humble action if it's to make ourselves the object of importance rather than glorifying and looking to God. Fasting. It's all about God. It's not about ourselves. Fasting and prayer are connected. And the example to learn is not to show others that you're struggling in your fast. To fast is to rely on God's faithfulness and seek his presence and his voice. But the world says it's all about finding ourselves and emptying ourselves. That's how we're going to find life. But for Christians, it's about losing our lives and filling ourselves with God's presence and love. So Jesus is teaching then and now continues to go against the flow of culture. Well, when we do these acts of justice, our Father sees what we do. He says, do it in secret. That will be your reward, Jesus says. Not as a reward that modern society expects, like winning a trophy after the race. No, your reward is your relationship with God. It's Him, and it's your life, together, changed, now and forever, to the end of time, when Jesus comes again. The promise of eternal life. So, the season of Lent is upon us, and the word Lent in Greek is Sarakosti, and it means the great 40 days, the great fast. Lent reminds us that Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days in the wilderness. What can we learn of prayer and the importance of God in this season? I just want to zoom into two points today about prayer. One is our Father, and the second is how to pray daily. So, our Father, Jesus teaches his disciples the Lord's Prayer. And that can be prayed in its full form, or as we know it, it can be broken down into perhaps six steps. I'll just say what the six steps are, just for your interest today. Six steps are praise and worship, pray God's will be done, pray for your needs, confess your sins and pray for forgiveness, ask for help and for forgiving others, pray for safety, protection, and deliverance. But as we home in a little to the prayer that Jesus taught us, we might do well to remember the journey of Lent, the times of struggle, bearing our soul to God, its complexity, its simplicity, and its beauty. It can be life-giving in transformation, in obedience, in our walk with God, in worship, in our trust. But sometimes Lent makes us dread the whole experience. And that's okay. Well, why would we want to give anything up? Why would we want to slow down? Why would we want to sit in God's presence for a little bit longer or do another Lent course? What have we got to gain? Lent draws us face to face with not only God, but ourselves and our frustrations and our bad habits, the things we've held on to. It's a chance to be realigned with your Creator, to come home again. You know, Jesus longed to stay close and aligned to his dad, right out there in the wilderness while being tempted by the devil. And his relationship with his Father was of utmost importance. And I ask you, who or what is the first person or thing that you turn to in times of trouble and desperation? I'm going to talk about the first step today. Praise and worship. Look at how we praise God this morning, coming together in song and praise, fixing our eyes on our Lord. Amazing. But whom do we pray and worship? Well, it's quite simply the one that Jesus has made known to us in this prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means make your name holy. The prayer goes straight to the Father, a holy God, but a God who we have access to because of what Jesus did for us by laying down his life. And in this chapter, we are invited to seek him in prayer and in secret. Jesus models his relationship with his Father to us, and they exhibit this beautiful, deep, meaningful, trusting, intimate, honest relationship with us that's there for us as his children. Remember that letter, that lovely letter I read out at the beginning? The letter, the writer talks quite a lot about himself or herself or themself. The I was used a lot, quite a lot, wasn't it? I'm quite good at that. I did this. I'm better than that. Do I get a present for my work? It does seem very I-focused to you. Well, maybe. But what was the most important thing in that letter? To be recognised? I don't know. So the opening line of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven. What do you feel when you pray those words? What do you feel when you pray, Our Father? Relief? Desperation? Joy? Hope? Our Father, that's plural, isn't it? We are told not to pray my Father, but our Father. He is for us all. We are his bride, his church, his children. We pray alongside our brothers and sisters throughout the world. This prayer in unity and as the body, as the people of God. That's wonderful, isn't it? We're praying, aligning our prayers to our Father together. That's powerful. That's profound. But do you know him as your Heavenly Father? Because some of us might find that a difficult term, especially if we haven't had a very close or loving relationship with our own dads. Perhaps we didn't even know them. And occasionally, we might have run a mile from our fathers. We, or they, might have left without returning. Now, I am sorry if this hurts some of you as I speak this out. Yet I wanted to link it in today with a bigger picture of the good news and sometimes the vacuum that is within us without God. So the story of the prodigal son took his early inheritance, left his father standing on the horizon. He lived the life of the full, but not as his father had hoped. Women, booze, greed, selfish desires, brash language, bad choices, doing everything in public for all to see. And then hunger, loneliness, emptiness, regret, and confession followed. He up sticks and he returned to his father, who was waiting for him, his beloved child. He never gave up on his child. He embraced his son with the biggest hug, and in that hug was forgiveness. Because despite our weaknesses and brokenness, we are accepted, my friends, called to follow Christ. Despite our destructive, sometimes inward tendencies, we can know God and we can seek him. When you pray in the quietness of your heart, in the secret place, God hears you. Isn't that good news? He hears you. Second, how to pray daily. It can be difficult sometimes to pray, can't it? Author C.S. Lewis said, many things keep us from adoring God. The first, he says, is inattention. And we recognize that life can be a wedge between God and us, because this life is a great distraction, isn't it? We can get everything at the press of a button. It's all out there. It's tangible. It's visible. And Lent, Lent, what an inconvenience, Christians say. I'd rather scroll on my phone on Insta. Just doing too many things. But admittedly, there are demands on us. There are. The cost of living crisis right there, the fear of violence committed to our children, growing up in a culture of drugs and knives and racism and discrimination, the struggling environment and the impact it has on the poor and marginalised, right there on our TV screens and on our social media pages. How can the followers of Jesus do the most important thing when the wheels of God's creation are coming off? Carrying the cross, you know, requires discipline and faith. And actually, we really, really need to love Jesus so much that we live by this extraordinary faith, not by sight and not with fear. But this inattention, as Richard Foster, a writer, it can stall our worship and prayer life. It might be a blockage, like another kind of wrong kind of attention, if you like. Could that be that we are looking to our needs and not looking to God? Inattention, I've Googled it. Humans have a shorter span than a goldfish, which is 9 seconds. The average human attention span is 8.25 seconds. But the attention span can range from 2 seconds to 20 minutes. So I'd better get a move on, otherwise you're probably all falling asleep. Anyway, right, here we go. Learning some steps to boost our prayer life can really bless us and our time with God. We need to be taught, though, don't we? We need to be disciplined. The scripture says, teach your children well, it says, and it will go with them. Teach them well, it will go with them. But this doesn't happen automatically, does it? It's by patience, it's by repetition. Plus, as I've mentioned, God is not always the name upon our lips. But where, when you pray, how do you begin? Our Father, acknowledge him first. Turn everything off yourself and just focus. Our Father. Let me give you an example. Straight from the heart. Our Father, you're so full of love, you're so full of understanding, Lord. I'm just finding it really difficult today. I'm feeling tired, I'm ill, I'm grieving, I've got some worries, money worries and stuff like this. I just don't know how to live well right now. Lord, can you help me? Can you be my guide? Start from the place of honesty with yourselves. That's how you begin. Our Father, share your heart. Because when God designed this beautiful creation, he didn't really need us. Sorry, folks. He didn't really need us because he's God, isn't he? But, you know, like the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, he is a God of relationship. The prodigal son was forgiven and restored by his father. It was because of love. It was like his prayer was the key and Jesus was the door. Key, door. Key, prayer, door. Jesus. We don't need to stay outside, yeah? We don't need to be outside. We don't need to feel guilt or shame or loneliness. God loves you. He's really, really pleased with you. It's an unconditional love, not by works, but by grace. You don't have to impress him to receive it. You just need to stop running and enter in through the door. Few things are needed, or indeed only one, Jesus said to his friend Martha. Mary has chosen what is better, and it won't be taken away from her. Will you take time this Lent to stop, to listen, and pray to your Father? Let me conclude. Jesus got away with his Father to a solitary place. He made that his priority. Not in the line of duty, but out of love. To bathe in the presence, to say to his Father, Father, I love you. Hey, Father, you're all I need. Hey, Father, I pray that others would see you in me, that the world would know good news and hope. How will you prioritize your life? What's the most important thing as a follower of Jesus, do you think? Here's just a couple of suggestions as we respond. Here we go. Pray the Lord's Prayer daily, or as many times as you can throughout the day. Make a rhythm of prayer. Let it lead to stillness, to intimacy, and transformation. Try to sit with God every morning, 10 and 15 minutes. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it going. And please, my friends, tell each other how you're doing with that. Keep your everyday faith stories alive for his glory. We're going to finish by praying Eugene Peterson's translation of the Jesus Prayer. He did the translation of the Message Bible, if you ever want to grab that copy. That'll bring a fresh to the Word of God. It's fantastic. It's got edge. It's for, you know, anyway, it makes me feel young when I read that version, but, you know, hey, whatever. And we're going to read it slowly and unrushed. We're going to pause after each sentence. But first of all, we're just going to hold a little moment to let everything settle. And then we're going to say it on the screen together. So let's just have the stillness. we say, the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Thank you.